Well, good morning, Potter's Foursquare. Hope all is well. This is Pastor Greg coming to you from my office, and we are continuing our Bible study on Sunday mornings through Matthew chapter 13. We took a break last Sunday because it was the last Sunday of the year, and we had some other things in mind, talking about pressing on toward the goal and forgetting what is behind, things of that nature. So that was good, and hopefully that was enjoyable for you. We are going to be continuing now in the section of Matthew where we're not necessarily done with the miracles, but we're going to be hearing a lot more parables. And so the way that Matthew, the book, or the gospel is sort of put together, there are some problematic areas, and this is one of them. And although it worked for the time that Jesus was teaching this sermon, it's really not conducive for church because he starts off with the parable of the seeds, right, that get, you know, thrown. And then he gives this sort of dissertation on the importance of parables and why he's speaking in parables. And then after that, he explains the parable of the soils. So it's confusing and it's too long to be taught in one session. And so what it does is we have to start sort of in the middle of the chapter to be able to cover the importance of parables. And then, I know this is confusing, next week we're going to go back and start off with chapter 13, verse 1. This week we're going to be chapter 13, verse 10 through 17. I know it's a little confusing. I know we normally don't do that. We just teach through verse upon verse, but it doesn't make sense to do that when right in the middle of this parable, he gives another teaching and then he goes back to the parable. So it's easy to teach the parable that is revealed and then what the meaning is and then move on. So hopefully all is well with you. We are starting a new year, which is great. This Sunday is our first Sunday of the year, and we're going to be really focusing this year on meeting the needs of our community regarding all the effects from COVID that we're going to see this year, probably in a lot worse than what we saw in 2020. I think now we're starting to see massive amounts of positive test results, which is gonna, you know, that's actually good news. We want to see a lot of positive tests because we know that the virus is running through the community. The bad news is we want the right people to get this particular virus and not the wrong people. And so if you are in our church and you are older, right? I'm old, but older and have pre-existing health conditions, I would strongly encourage you to listen online. And hopefully that will be enough for you. And if you are in need of more fellowship than that, we would love to reach out to you and FaceTime or do what we need to do. We really want to protect the vulnerable in our church. And right now we're learning a lot about this particular virus. And it seems that the older folks with pre-existing conditions, and that's a lot of us, are more susceptible to a tougher go. And I know some older people that have had this particular virus, and they were fine. They said it was just like having the flu, and they went through it. But we just want to be extra careful. So we are continuing to have church, but we want to do so with this high level of responsibility. And I encourage you to wear a mask when you're in church. We are social distancing. The service is reduced to an hour. Worship is reduced to three or four songs. The sermon is pretty quick. And we're out of there, and virtually nobody sticks around. And that's not a good thing, but I think it's workable right now instead of having people in people's homes and spreading it like that. We don't want to do that either. And so we're trying to make the best decisions based on the information that we have, and hopefully we've done that. So this morning, I want to talk a little bit about these parables. And it's been said that a parable is an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. I'll say that again. It's been said that a parable is an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. So Jesus frequently used parables as a means of illustrating profound and divine truths or difficult truths. you know, stories such as these are they're, well, number one, they're easily remembered. Number two, their characters are really bold. And number three, the symbolisms are rich in meaning. In other words, we really get a lot out of these parables because they're just a short story that points to a bigger, broader picture of who God is and why Jesus came. So parables were common, and they were a common form of teaching in Judaism as well. But before a certain point in his ministry, Jesus had employed many graphic analogies using common things that would be familiar to everyone. Jesus talked about salt, he talked about bread, he talked about sheep, and their meaning was fairly clear in the context of his teaching. Parables require more explanation, and at one point in Jesus' ministry, he begins to teach using parables exclusively, and we have entered into that point. So our text this morning is Matthew chapter 13, verse 10 through 17. Let's begin reading. It says, "The disciples came to him and asked, 'Why do you speak to the people in parables?' And he replied, 'Because of the secrets of the kingdom of God has been given to you, but not to them. Whoever has will be given more, and they will have an abundance. Whoever does not have, even what they have will be taken from them. This is why I speak to them in parables. Though seeing, they do not see. Though hearing, they do not hear or understand. In them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah. You will be ever hearing, but never understanding. You will be ever seeing, but never perceiving. For this people's heart has become calloused, and they hardly hear with their ears, and they have closed their eyes. Otherwise, they might see with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their hearts and turn, and I would heal them. But blessed are you, and blessed are your eyes because they see, and your ears because they hear. For truly I tell you, many prophets and righteous people longed to see what you see but did not see it, and to hear what you hear but did not hear it." Father, we pray blessing upon your word this morning as we study. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So why are we here this morning? We're here to study to show thyself approved, a workman who does not need to be ashamed, one who rightly divides the word of truth. That is you and that is me. And one way to rightly divide the word of truth is to learn the parables, because what the parables do is they help us understand what and who God is, what he is, who he is, how he works. And these stories are relatable, right? So a simple question, the disciples come to him, they say, okay, what's with the parables? The answer is a little bit more complex, but still pretty on the simple side. He says, "You've been chosen to understand the mysteries of the kingdom of God." And whenever God, in his word, says, "You have been chosen," it speaks to a group of people that have not been chosen, or a group of people that have been rejected. In other words, I have accepted you, and to give you the mysteries of the kingdom of God, I have accepted you for this, and I have rejected others. So in verse 12, it says people, you know, that are ready to open up to eternal truth will receive more. And people who are, you know, close to eternal truth, even if they have a trace, it will be taken from them. And, you know, this is a very problematic verse because it makes like it sounds like God is being stingy here or being, you know, I don't know what the exact word would be, but it's just not a character that we see from God, but it reads different than what it actually means. What he's saying, and we'll get to this a little bit more in interpretation, is that, you know, if somebody's open to the ways of God, they're going to get an abundance. But if you're not open to God, you're not going to get anything. And even the little bit that you have, even if it's a trace, it's going to be taken from them. So this whole idea is spelled out in Isaiah chapter 6, verse 9 and 10. And in verse 16, he says, "Blessed are the spiritually minded, for those who seek the eternal truth. Eyes and ears are other words for your heart," right? Eyes and ears, we see with our eyes and we hear with our ears, but it's really talking about those things are the mechanism in which we get those ideas into our heart. Blessed are the spiritually minded who seek eternal truth. And that's what he's saying. He's saying those who are really asking for more of me, more knowledge of me, I'm going to pour it out in abundance. But those who are okay with just a thought of me, even what they have, I'm going to take from them. The Bible says God is a jealous God. He's a consuming fire. verse 17 says, you know, that the, blessed are that generation who sees and hears. You think about how blessed that generation was to see Jesus the Messiah and to hear the word of God who became flesh and made his dwelling among man. That's an amazing thing. What a blessed people they were. So an interpretation this morning, the first thing here is those who see and those who remain blind. From this point on, Jesus in his ministry, when you know he spoke in parables, he explained them only to his disciples. But those who had continually rejected his message were left, you know, in their spiritual blindness to wonder as to what the meaning was. He made a clear distinction between those who had been given ears to hear and those who persisted in unbelief. And think about that. It's a very clear distinction. You either have ears to hear or you're persisting in unbelief. There's no middle ground here. And I think the middle ground is persisting in unbelief, because ears to hear is something that you want to do every moment of every day. Ever hearing, he says, but never actually perceiving. Always learning, but never able to acknowledge the truth. So let me just give you an analogy. Most of you know, and I've talked about this in my sermons throughout my career. If you put me in a quiet room with my computer and the Bible and my study materials, I get very distracted. It's hard for me to teach a sermon. It's hard for me to prepare a sermon. It's hard for me to get my mind locked into what I'm doing. And I'm not saying this is good for everybody, and it's probably a small amount of people that have this particular problem, but believe it or not, I do most of my studying in my living room with my family, you know, doing their business in the home and the TV's on. And, you know, sometimes I'll put something on and I'll be ever hearing, but never actually perceiving. In other words, it's just a backdrop of sound, right? And I don't get out of a TV show or a movie what I would get if I didn't have my computer in front of me and I was locked in. I would get a better understanding. But when I'm studying or working, it's just background noise. Even at work, I have the radio on, I have talk radio on. There's something always going in the backdrop, because that's just the way my mind is. And Jesus says here, you're going to be ever hearing. In other words, you're going to have the backdrop noise of God, but you're never going to perceive, because you're not focused. You don't have ears to hear, right? So the disciples had been given the gift of spiritual discernment, and that gave them the ability to really understand what God's word was, and it became clear to them. And because they accepted the truth from Jesus, they were given more truth, right? He who has will be given more. And the same is true today of believers who've, you know, been given the gift of the Holy Spirit, who guides us into all truth, Bible says, John 16:13. He has opened up our eyes to the light of truth and our ears, and these are sweet words that we sense, right? But number two, the purpose of parables. So our Lord Jesus understood that truth is not sweet music to all ears, right? It may be sweet music to some ears, but not all ears. The purpose of parables, simply put, there are those who have neither the interest in or regard for the deep things of God. Let me say that again. Simply put, simply stated, there are those people who walking the earth right now that have neither the interest in God or regard for the deep things of God. So why then did he speak in parables? To those with a genuine hunger for God, a parable is both effective and memorable vehicle for the conveyance of divine truths. In other words, if you really want to bless somebody that's hungry for God, the gospel becomes easier. And if it's a story that they can relate to, something that they've seen, something that they've experienced. When Jesus talks about the parable of the prodigal son, I think many, many, many people can relate to having a son grow up and want his own way and go do his own thing, and a parent has to let go. A lot of people can relate to that, right? So our Lord's parables contain great volumes of truth in very few words. In his parables, they're rich in imagery, and it's not easily forgotten, right? When I think about the parables, I can see, like, the parable of the wedding banquet, and he goes out and he invites everybody, and everybody rejects him, and then guy says, hey, I want you to go out and invite everybody, anybody that you can find on the street. They don't need to be prominent. Just bring them in. And that I can see that. I can see how that would lay out. I can see characters. But to those with dull hearts and ears that are slow to hear, the parable is also an instrument for judgment and mercy. The third thing I want to develop here in what this all means is the blessings of those who see. So to be blessed is really this understanding that it's really, oh, the joy. To be blessed is, oh, the joy, right? So, oh, the joy that comes from seeing for the first time. Eyes to see. And he says, if you have eyes to see, I'll give you more to see. So remember the first time that you saw the truth, right? You saw it. You saw things through God's eyes. Oh, the joy that comes from understanding the truth when the light bulb in your head went off and evil was revealed and good was revealed and you realized that there was a God who loved you. Oh, the joy that comes from knowing our place in the kingdom of God. Oh, the joy that comes from understanding the roadmap for our life, that God has a plan for you, plans to bless you, plans to give you a future and a hope. Oh, the joy that comes from the grace and mercy being poured out on our life abundantly. The blessings of those who see, the blessings of those who hear. Eyes that are ever seeing and perceiving, ears that are ever hearing and understanding. One of the greatest things that we can do about the message of Jesus Christ and really how to have it written on our hearts, guys, is to memorize the miracles. Be willing to spend time in God's word so that you can properly and effectively communicate most of the miracles that Jesus performed, most of the encounters that he had. And the second thing is, take the time to memorize the parables, because these are the things that you can use when you witness to people. These are the things that our community in La Habra needs. These people, they don't need a sermon that, it rightly divides the word of truth so much that you're interpreting Greek and Hebrew words and, you know, they're not going to understand any of that. They're going to understand a simple truth. And moreover, they're going to understand from you what God has done in your life. And you become a parable as well. I left the church this morning with a homework. And one of the things that I want you to do this week is I want you to read through the parables that are in 13, Matthew 13, 14, and 15. I really want you to understand what they are. And then I want you to share one with somebody this week. Preferably an unbeliever, preferably somebody that doesn't know any of that. And you could say, hey, you know what? The Bible says that the kingdom of God, you know, is like a bunch of virgins that are waiting for the groom to come. And, you know, they have their lamps and you can explain that whole story to them. And there's all kinds of parables. That might be a little bit complex, but there's all kinds of parables that are very simple that you can share with people. And don't get all hung up about it. It's really simple. Just memorize it and find a way to tell that story. Find a way to tell that narrative. So an application this morning. God's divine truth, right? That's what we're really talking about here. His divine truth, number one, is relatable to the common man. The Bible says the poor heard him gladly. The uneducated followed. The non-religious felt accepted. That's amazing. It's relatable to the poor, to the rich, to the uneducated, to whoever. It's relatable, right? It's a message that transcends everything. And for the simple, number two, for the simple to understand, Jesus used fishermen. They didn't understand the gospel. They didn't understand the word of God. They didn't understand Hebrew history. They used a tax collector. They used a physician. They used a prominent Jew, Paul. The simple heard him. The simple understood. So for those who hunger to see what is unseen, that's an amazing thing too. Those who hunger to see what is unseen. The woman at the well, she was hungering to see what was unseen. The centurion captain that said, Jesus, you don't even need to go and heal my servant. You can speak the word now. The woman with the issue of blood, she was hungering to see what was unseen. In her mind, after 12 years, if I just touch Jesus, I'll be changed. And God's divine truth is for you and for me, and it's simple. It's simple. It's for those who hunger for what is unseen. It's for the simple to understand, and it's for the purpose of being relatable to the common man. And those people are everywhere all over, and all we need to do is reach them. So I encourage you this morning, if you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ and you want to, Bible says that you have to confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that Jesus Christ is Lord, that he died on a cross for you to give you salvation and to seal you with the Holy Spirit and to give you the gifts of the Spirit and the fruits of the Spirit. If you prayed that prayer, then you are saved. You are on your way to heaven and you have eternal life with God the Father and all the saints. If you've made that decision today and made that your prayer, let us know by giving us a call on our church phone. It should be there on the website. Let us know about the decision that you made so that we may rejoice with you. If you're a regular listener to our podcast, the sermon podcast, I want to encourage you with this. He has shown you, O man and O woman, and me, what is good and what the Lord requires of thee, that you do justly, that you love mercy, and that you walk humbly with your God. I pray that you do that this week. I pray that you use that parable. God bless you guys. We'll see you next week.